This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. The past 13 months have not been easy ones for small business owners and entrepreneurs. A group of high schoolers, with the help of the nonprofit Boys and Girls Club of Southeastern Michigan, have designed and created their own line of apparel. Their products were launched at the club's Reimagining Black Wall Street event a little bit earlier this month. The clothes in the Social Justice Collection are on sale in-store and online through Detroit is the New Black, the vaunted apparel and lifestyle brand in Detroit. Two of the youth entrepreneurs, they're both juniors in high school, are with us now to tell the story, Erica Trussell and Leon Moorhead Jr. Leon, Erica, welcome to Stateside. It's great to have you.
Thank you for having us.
You both created designs for the Social Justice Collection. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about the designs. Erica, I know you were part of the team that did the Let's Be Fair design.
Mm-hmm.
And Leon was part of a team that worked on a series called In Pursuit of True Freedom. Let's just talk a little bit about the designs. Leon, can we start with True Freedom? The hoodie version of this. Can you describe what it looks like?
Okay, so on the front, it has In Pursuit of True Freedom in yellow, and like the background and like the base of the hoodie is black. But on the back, you have like a timeline on the back, which would basically go through all the stuff that us as black people have went through, like slavery, Jim Crow. And then like after that, it would be question marks where it would have equality, justice. And that's where we're trying to push for it. In Pursuit of True Freedom means like we're going to be pushing for this. We're going to be trying to push for equality and all this different types of stuff for black people and also other races. Like, I really just wanted the shirt to just mean something and have like a deeper meaning than what it already has. And like me and my partner, we just like, this would be better for the people. This would also be better for a greater message. And there's also a roadblock on the back because like there's stuff that's blocking us, but they're not going to let that stop us. We're going to try and push forward and also try and pursue true freedom.
Yeah, the design really poses a question. These are the things we're dealing with. And when will these things end? How long will they be in our lives? Could you talk about how you started the conversation of what the design needed to do?
Well, when me and my partner sat down, it was like, okay, well, how are we going to portray this on a t-shirt? How are we going to show social justice? Because when I was seeing it on the television and hearing it on the radio, I was sitting here like, this is not really fair to us as black people. And this is not really cool because, well, when I first saw George Floyd pass away, it was really shocking to me because I thought we would be better than this as people. So when I sat down with my partner, I was like, okay, we need to show that we are pushing forward. We're not going to let this stop us. We're not going to let that stop us. We're going to push forward and we're also going to try and be better than what we already are. And we're also going to try and bring others with us because it's not just going to be us. It's going to be everybody with us because it's not just a one color cause or a one person cause. It's always something that we always want to bring everybody with us. And so that's basically what we had to start the conversation on. Like, how are we going to get everybody on board?
Erica, the design that you worked on has some mixed elements in it. The Journey to Equality tee and hoodie, it has a look that kind of calls back to some of the woodblock prints in various organizing movements, but it's got a really modern touch too with emoji type images on the back. Could you talk about the design process for this?
Yes. So it all started out pretty much like on a board, and our main goal was to get out to people saying that it doesn't really matter on what your skin type is or when you were born or where you were born, saying that we are all equal. And pretty much you have, I think, beforehand you have five hands on a rose with thorns. And at the bottom of it, it was blood dripping. The hands were being cut by the thorns. And what I was pretty much saying is that we all bleed the same. The only thing that's different on us is our skin. And there's nothing to be ashamed by that. And really, we're just trying to say is that it doesn't matter on what's on the outside, it matters what's on the inside. Don't judge a book by its cover before you've actually read it. And now on the shirts, you know, we had to limit some colors on there. So we have three hands and they still represent the same thing. It doesn't matter on who you are, what your skin color is. It just matters on what you do in life. You know, who you decide you want to be. And the smiley face represents happiness, meaning there is a positive side to this, meaning that there is a way. And the heart beforehand had cracks in it, meaning that as the people, we're a little bit broken and we're trying to mend ourselves back together. We're mending ourselves back together slowly, but we're still together and it's happening. And me and my group just want people to know that before you even judge somebody, ask them who they actually are. Get to know them before you actually judge them. Because you may say something that can impact yourself that you would never know. I mean, it all matters on how you treat other people. How would you want to be treated? And really, that's just our main goal. You know, there's some good sides about it. There's some bad sides about it. But as the people, we're stronger together than we are alone. We have more power together than we are just one person. Not saying that being one person isn't enough, but one person can get it started to make it something even bigger than what it is.
I wanted to ask both of you, if you saw different apparel lines before you started in on this project, you know, an Adidas or, you know, Nike shirt or campaign or hoodie, did you think much about like how the design process worked? You know, what questions people would sit down with and what, you know, what kind of statements they wanted it to make? Were there things that you learned about the design process and, you know, maybe that weren't as obvious to you when you would just see, you know, people wearing stuff? Erica, do you want to start?
I would say with different brands, they all want something different. I mean, you either have, like, you want to be chill. So, like, I mean, like with a line, you can say, oh, yeah, I want this to be chill, comfortable, outgoing. So I want baggy clothes, you know. I want workout clothes. And there's always a point to what they're trying to get out. Even though if you don't see it, there's always a point. There's always something that it comes from. And if I ever had a brand, I would want it to be, like, since we're in this pandemic, I would want it to be at home, outgoing fashion to where you can still be a little bit fashionable, catch people's eyes, but, you know, still be comfortable.
Leon, how about you? Were there things that weren't as obvious to you about the design process that you picked up by going through this?
Well, I actually had like a very good concept of how the design process was because one of my friends, he makes shirts and it's called Plug, but he tells me about the type of stuff that he does throughout the day and throughout the weekend and how he produces his t-shirts and everything else. So I was thinking about the same things when I was going into the industry club, but the one thing I didn't anticipate was the outcome of what my design would be because I never would know, like, do they like this? Do they like that? Do they want me to change it? Or mm-hmm. do they want for me to make it smaller or bigger? So it's just really the outcome for me about how people will receive my designs.
Well, Leon, Erica, it's been a real pleasure talking to you, and the designs look really nice. Thank you for sharing the story of making them.
Thank you. Thank you.
It was a pleasure to have us.
So let's hear a little bit more backstory on how this worked. We're turning now to Sean Wilson. He's the president and CEO of the nonprofit Boys and Girls Clubs of Southeast Michigan that got the whole process started. And he's going to tell us more about the origins of the Social Justice Collection. Sean, it's very nice to talk with you again.
Thank you, April. I appreciate you having us on and highlighting our young people.
So for those who don't know, the Boys and Girls Club's mission is to provide kids with a safe place to be, certainly, but has also expanded its mandate to talk to kids about their opportunities with economic mobility. Will you tell us a little bit about what the industry club is designed to do?
Absolutely. So the industry club is really, you know, it's a great example of us living our mission, which is to help ensure that youth are career, startup, and homeowner ready by the time they're 18. And so the industry club is a program that introduces youth to the fashion industry. It helps them explore entrepreneurship opportunities within the fashion industry, but also career opportunities in them. And we do it in a really real way, a real world way, which allows them to look at serious issues in their community, like social justice, design something that reflects their understanding of it, but then also be able to turn it into a product that they bring to market And then as you saw, you know, we're launching a learning and activity guide, which then helps to take their learning and expose other youth to the social justice issues as well.
The overarching theme for this was Reimagine Black Wall Street. That's a callback to the business district in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I believe, that was destroyed by the Tulsa riot. Why was that the choice for this?
For a couple reasons. You know, I think so often you have to know where you've been in order to know where you're going, right? And for so often, a lot of our youth, especially if they are first generation entrepreneurs, they don't know the legacy of entrepreneurship in the African-American communities. So them understanding that entrepreneurship has been a part of their legacy, that they're building and they're standing on the shoulders of some really important individuals who did the hard work of really breaking through and face unspeakable barriers to that. But, you know, you can't stop progress. And I think that's what the Black Wall Street theme really helps them understand, is that, you know, you can't stop progress. And they're a part of pushing that history of entrepreneurship forward. And this is really my favorite part of seeing them become entrepreneurs, is they're a part of carrying that legacy forward. So we held an event where they presented their designs and their t-shirts and their hoodies to other younger youth in the clubs. And so to see a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old looking at a 15, 16-year-old and saying, you know, I want to become a fashion entrepreneur, I want to become an entrepreneur, that's powerful. And I think for a lot of our youth, I don't even think that's registering to them how big that is and how big of an influence they're being on the next generation.
It's one thing to sit kids down at the table and say, all right, we're going to talk about design now, and sort of walk them through the process. But how did the folks leading these sessions inform the kids about some of that context that you wanted them to take away from this?
Yeah, so we had them do their own research for one. And then two, we had them watch documentaries like 13th to help them understand the history of systemic racism in our country. And then we did a panel discussion with artists and advocates, activists, so that they could understand the issues from a grassroots and how to take action. So, you know, we have to be careful not to just lean into Black trauma, right? Where you're only telling them about the unspeakable things that have happened. But it's also important to help them understand how they can take action to make sure that that cycle doesn't continue. And then from there, we had them express everything that they learned through art, first and foremost. So they really painted a board, you know, if you will, to be able to express what they learned and how they were feeling and what they wanted to communicate. And then that turned into the t-shirt design and the hoodie design. So it was a long process to a certain extent, but it was something that went from education to action. And I think that's what's really powerful about this initiative.
I mean, there was a lot going on here. There was the design piece of it, the marketing piece of it, but you also really dug in on something that a lot of adult creatives struggle with. That is the more technical business side of it, contracts and licensing. Why did you prioritize those skills?
You know, that's so powerful. We Boys and Girls Clubs wanted to license their design because although they're already being paid to be a part of this program, we wanted from the very start to help them value their work and their creation. And I've worked with a lot of creatives. You know, that's a stumbling block for a lot of creatives. You know, they're so passionate about their work and their art, and they almost give it away. So we're really trying to overcome that up front and help them understand the value of what they're creating and do it from a licensing standpoint. You know, anytime you license, there's pros and there's cons to that licensing agreement. So let's talk about that. And I think it puts them in a business mindset from the very beginning. But once again, if we want them to become career ready, startup and homeowner ready by 18, you have to tackle the non-sexy parts of art and fashion, which is the business.
So much education that is geared toward getting kids opportunities is just geared toward that. Here's how you get a job to go to work for somebody. But we almost never talk about who owns what you make.
That's right. And you know, the powerful part about the startup ready, when we talk about career, it's something, you know, where you can earn a livable wage and grow in that career. When we talk about startup, you know, you're taking the ownership to say, I can create my own job. But then more importantly, you can create jobs for others and create jobs for your communities. And that's what I think is so powerful. And then when you look at the homeownership ready piece of it, now we're starting to teach them about financial literacy and where you should be investing your dollars. And as we all know, home ownership is the cornerstone of wealth building in our country. But it's not, it shouldn't be lost on us that those three things are also, from a social justice standpoint, April, those are the three things that historically and systematically have been denied to Black and Brown individuals through efforts like redlining. You know, those are the things that have prevented a lot of Black and Brown people from really excelling in those three areas of career, startup, and homeowner ready.
Can you tell us what's next for the industry club? Are there more designs to come, or maybe more industries to incorporate into it?
Absolutely. So, you know, this is a cornerstone of what the Boys and Girls Clubs is doing. I think what makes it unique is when you look at the different industry partners that we're able to bring in for fashion and design, whether it's Detroit is the New Black, Deviate, Detroit versus Everybody. You know, we literally engaged and hired those brands to teach our youth, so that we knew it would be super authentic. And then also recognizing that the industry club is in real industry. So if you walk into the Detroit is a New Black retail store, it just looks like a regular commercial retail spot, you know, in the beginning. But then as you start to peel back the layers, you see that this is where the training and the development goes to our youth, which is super authentic. So we'll be expanding. We'll be announcing three additional industry clubs this year that start to take kids deeper into other industries, which I'm really excited about. And our goal is by 2025 to have a dozen to 14 industry clubs across Southeastern Michigan that helps to take the kids deep from a career and an entrepreneurship standpoint. So this is just the beginning of the work that we're doing in this space.
Sean, the last time we talked, the pandemic had just recently hit Michigan, and the clubs were just starting to provide help for those families of essential workers. And we talked a little bit about the challenges of running a nonprofit in that time. What's been going on with you? What kinds of things have changed for you in the clubs since then?
It's great to reflect. You know, we had to recognize that for us, serving youth in person is our core business. And, you know, we could do some amazing work online and virtually, but at the end of the day, our core business is serving youth in person. And so we took the one or two clubs that we originally reopened serving children of essential workers. We expanded that during the summer to three or four clubs. And then in the fall, we announced Learning Pods to help youth navigate their virtual learning experience during the school day. So pretty much being open all day. So we continue to evolve to make sure that we're meeting the needs of our youth when they needed us the most. Interesting enough, we actually grew. You know, we expanded into Pontiac during the pandemic. We added about 6,000 youth. We absorbed a youth sports tackle football and cheerleading league, which added thousands of youth once again to our membership.
Sean Wilson is president and CEO of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southeastern Michigan. Sean, it's great to hear your voice. Hope you're hanging in there, and the rest of the team, too.
Thank you, April.